From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Thank you for joining us for the last episode of PDGA Radio of the decade. Holy cow.
Wow.
I'm Steve Hill. I'm joined by Sarah Sinclair, who is back from her world travels. Sarah, how amazing was New Zealand?
It was incredible. Besides the United States, well, I wouldn't say the United States is like the perfect country for me, but New Zealand is definitely the perfect country. Here's the short list. Adorable cows and sheep, vegetarian and vegan food everywhere, beautiful mountains, water, no tax. When you go to a restaurant, the price that you see is the price that you pay. There's no tax and you don't have to tip and everyone is happy and they've got awesome accents and they loved baked goods. We were just eating like hand pies and all sorts of stuff. Gelato the entire time. It was amazing. I'm very sad to be back to real life.
Yeah. Did you play any disc golf while you were there?
So my cousin actually lives in Wellington, which is the southernmost part of the North Island, which is the part of the reason we chose to go to New Zealand this year, because he's only there for about a year and a half more. But we wanted to play a 9-hole round with them to kind of introduce them to the sport, but also obviously get a round of disc golf in New Zealand. So I posted some pretty hilarious videos. They had never thrown before. And my cousin, who's very athletic, runs marathons and like looks very fit, on his first backhand throw, I think he might have torn something in his shoulder.
Oh no.
Yeah. So
yeah, marathon is all lower body.
I know. But I thought he'd be a little bit better at just physical activity in general, I guess. I had high hopes.
Oh man.
So I'm wishing him well, but I'm not sure he'll be playing anytime in the near future.
Oh, well, it sounds like the trip was awesome.
It was amazing.
Happy to have you back on the show. Obviously, you missed our Paige Pierce interview. Hopefully, everyone had a chance to listen to that. No interview on tap for today, but there is some other, disc golf-based news. And then after the break, Sarah and I are going to kind of talk about our favorite moments of the decade for disc golf and just for ourselves personally. So, do us a favor, stick around for that. Let's get to some news, Sarah. One of the things I did want to bring up as a topic of discussion today, a little news. This is an announcement on the PDGA website right now that the board of directors has established a CBD policy for competitive disc golf. CBD is cannabidiol. It's obviously derived from hemp or cannabis. It is the non-hallucinogenic side, has a lot of benefits in terms of reducing inflammation, things like that. So long story short, use of CBD products containing less than 0.3% of THC is permissible by competitors so long as they are not being inhaled. So no vaping, but get your CBD rubs and your ointments and your gummies and your whatevers, and you'll be good to go for using CBD. Sarah, your thoughts on that new policy?
Yeah, I've actually tried, the first time I ordered any CBD oil is actually for one of my dogs who was very anxious in the car.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that it did anything for him, but I've actually used it for sleeping, and I felt like it's kind of given me a little bit more calm before I go to sleep. And I don't know if it's just placebo or what, but I like it. And I think that if it's used for, like you said, inflammation, things like that, and it's not inhaled, then perfectly fine.
Yeah. I honestly personally think it's a no-brainer on the policy front. It's so much, you can get CBD lotions at the grocery store checkout stand now. Like it's a legal thing, and it has some benefits. I use it for like headaches, and I have like a recurring shoulder injury that I'll use an ointment from and everything. So it's I'm a fan, and I know that it's a growing, its usage is growing in the sport. So I'm glad that 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 policy was kind of established and gives us some clarification on its use, because I'm sure eventually it was going to become a thing if there wasn't a policy. So kudos to the board and the medical committee for that. Also, one other thing on the books right now, the PDGA Women's Global Event, the 2020 version, is going to be coming up in May. And obviously, we want some supporters for that. So if you are interested in helping the Women's Global Event via being a sponsor in terms of, you know, getting something in the players pack, having some materials going along with all the promotional stuff that's going to be coming with the Women's Global Event, which is a big thing. You can check out all the information over right now at the PDGA website. Sarah, I'm sure you're going to play a Women's Global Event this year. Yeah,
absolutely. It is already on my calendar.
Yeah. Which one?
We always have one in Nashville, or since I've moved here, they've held one in Nashville. So I'm hoping that we do that. And there's a local woman that's got a little small business called Disc Maidens. And I think she wants to do a clinic beforehand. So we're hoping to make it the biggest and best it's been since I've been here.
Awesome. Looking forward to, obviously, this is an every other year thing, so we will be talking much more about Women's Global Event when it gets closer. But yeah, you can get in on the ground floor on the sponsorship front now. Go over to pdga.com, check out the announcements, or I believe if you just go to pdga.com/WGE, there is also information there. All right, on the other news front, obviously it is the off season. It is the time of the year when all of the players do their moving, or in some case they're staying. And that was kind of the big one that we kind of missed while you were gone, Sarah. I think this news came out like between episodes. Katrina Allen gonna stay with Prodigy. I believe she signed a 2-year extension. And, you know, she's been with them since they started now. So, I mean, she's been with them, gosh, it's going on
8 years, 8 seasons.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So, your reaction to Katrina Allen sticking with Prodigy?
We've been talking, I'm a little surprised. I don't think we overlapped. I got back from New Zealand and then she went to Mexico a couple days later. So we touched base a little bit, but, you know, we've always talked about her being a professional. She's making decisions based on her future, and she's very intelligent. She weighs all of her options, and Prodigy was clearly the best option for her business wise. So I commend her for kind of educating herself on all the options that were potentially out there, and decided to stick with Prodigy. So that's awesome. I hope they take care of her.
Yeah. Now her contract was up, so I think she did have the opportunity to go elsewhere.
Yes.
If she wanted to, I kind of thought that it might happen, just because that is kind of the thing that has been happening. People are, their contract ends and they go check out somewhere else. But at the same time, I also think, like, with Paige Pierce going over to Discraft, I actually think that Katrina staying with Prodigy is a really smart move, just from a purely on the course competitive standpoint, because more than likely Paige Pierce, as great as she is, she's going to have a learning curve at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
It's going to take her a while to adjust to her new stuff. Katrina Allen's been throwing the same bag for eons now. And that would have been one of my big concerns with her, if she switched manufacturers, was having to learn new stuff. Whereas, I mean, she's like one of the most dialed in throwers on tour. That's a really big advantage for her. And that's something that's really difficult to give up if you're starting with a brand new bag.
That's
so
true.
I think it's a really smart competitive advantage of her. I would not be surprised to see her come out, you know, and she started really strong this last season. You know, she's got to get the putter figured out. Maybe she needs a new putter. That's always that's the mojo. It's never the person. It's the disc. You got to change the putter, right? And so,
spoken like a true disc golfer.
Yeah, all of the putter molds that I have in my garage, they're
useless.
They're all the worst one.
Yes,
it's
of course.
It's definitely not me. so no, but what I'm saying is, I think she's gonna have an advantage at the beginning of the year. So I like seeing her stay there. In other player moves, we had Missy Gannon, in a somewhat not surprising move to me, heading over to Discraft to kind of round out their elite. FPO team. This one didn't shock me too much just because her and Paige are, you know, they practice together. They're friends. And DD has kind of been paring their team down a little bit. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Your take on Missy Gannon to Discraft?
I guess I was kind of surprised. I don't know. I don't think people really follow each other to teams because their friends are tour together. I mean, perfect instance is Katrina Allen and Austin Hannum, you know, they're sponsored by two different companies just because you tour together, like in a relationship. I don't think it's assumed that you need to be sponsored by the same company. So I kind of was surprised because Missy seemed pretty loyal to DD and has been throwing them ever since she went pro and has been really successful with that company. So I was a bit surprised by that, honestly.
Okay.
I might try to pick her brain when I see her on the course next year.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking about? I mean, it's holiday time, so I didn't really, and we're kind of at the tail end of the year getting work done. So I didn't reach out to her, but I think she'd be a good one to have on the show after the new year. You know, we can talk to her about the process and learning the new stuff. And, you know, we haven't had her on before.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be fun. We'll have to reach out to her, but, yeah, I don't know. I guess it just, maybe I was looking at the friend card too much. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And then the one piece of news that I just saw today is that Peter McBride will no longer be sponsored by Dynamic Discs. This one, not a huge surprise to me. I've seen, you know, it looks like Dynamic Discs is kind of paring down their sponsored players. There was even an article that came out where Jeremy Rusko, the owner of DD, was quote unquote, was responding to the quote unquote sinking ship rumors, which man, the disc golf internet is fun.
Oh
sometimes.
My gosh.
I would have never, I never once was thinking, oh my gosh, Dynamic Discs sinking ship.
No.
Like to me, Dynamic Discs has always had a lot of sponsored players. And as much as we spend a lot of time talking about pro players and everything like that, but from a pure business standpoint, it's hard to tell where the ROI is sometimes on those sponsored players. And so if you're a company like Dynamic Discs who has just a boatload of them, and maybe you're not getting what you bargained for there, and so you're going to trim down your team and put your resources in some other spots. And none of that really seems surprising or controversial or some indication of a sinking ship to me. So I thought it was, honestly, I thought it was a little funny to see that article that like, that people even thought that was a thing. I just figured it was business. So I don't know. As far as Peter McBride goes, you know, he wasn't touring. He didn't tour full time this year. He was a little more inconsistent in his finishes and everything, but man, if I were a smaller company, I'd be more than happy to snap up somebody like Peter McBride. He's a great dude on and off the course. You know, maybe he's not going to be your big social media influencer guy, but as far as playing the game the right way, conducting himself with a positive manner, like you can't ask for much better. So hopefully he lands with a new team and can get out there and do his thing.
Yeah.
So this, all these kind of moves, Sarah, it's precipitated more discussion. And my buddy Mahmoud Barani over on Twitter, one of our five disc golfers on Twitter, kind of brought up a discussion point. And he essentially said, because now we've got Vanessa Van Dyken also, like I think she got bumped up to another level on the Discraft team.
Yes.
So with Paige Pierce, Vanessa Van Dyken, Missy Gannon, and Haley King, he was proposing that Discraft has the best FPO team. So it made me think, who does have the best FPO team? So let's talk about it, Sarah. I know you are on an FPO team. You are sponsored by Innova, so we have to take that into consideration here. Sarah's going to take off her Innova hat for a second.
I can be neutral.
She's going to be a media member right now instead of a team player. But look, now to me, Discraft does have a very strong team. You've got Paige Pierce. You've got a strong team. I don't know that they have the strongest team yet. I think they have potential. I don't know, just on paper, if they have the strongest team. I'm looking at other companies right now. Okay. I think really the issue here is that a lot of companies only have one or two really top women's players.
Right.
And that's just the nature of the game right now. But looking at other companies, Latitude 64 has Kristen Tatar and Rebecca Cox. And I would put Sayananda up there as one of their, probably their like number three women's player. That's a pretty good squad. Prodigy has Katrina, who we just mentioned. Ragna, Big D, who doesn't really tour that much anymore. And then Heather Young is sponsored by Prodigy, and she's kind of on the come up. MVP has Sarah Hokum and Elaine King. That's two really solid players. Dynamic Disc, you got Paige Bierkus, Zoe Van Dyke. Oh, I'm sorry, Paige Shu.
Yes.
Her name's Paige Shu now. That's going to take me a while. Zoe Van Dyke and Teen Oakley. And then obviously Innova has Evelina Salonen, Lisa Fakus, Madison Walker, Jennifer Allen, Jessica Weiss, Sarah Sinclair, Ellen Woodboom,
yes.
Holly Finley. Yes. Like, they have a lot of really strong players on that team. So now that I've laid out all of the players, Sarah, what is your take? Who do you think, at the moment, right now, on paper, without anyone throwing any frisbees on the course, who do you think has the best FPO?
So one person that you forgot on Innova is, I'm just looking at the PGA player statistics, all the women who played open, I've got it ranked from highest rated.
Did I leave out someone super obvious?
She's not super obvious, but she is actually the 7th highest rated female in the world currently. Valerie Mondahano.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
She jumped up to 950, and she is sponsored by Innova.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And Ragna is actually 949, so she's up there too. But yeah, we haven't seen her on tour full time.
What I did is I went and looked at like the UDisc Live pages, because I think the discussion is more like touring.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
FPO right. players.
I would say I don't want to go if I had a little more time, I'd go in and do some math and like some weighted rankings and things like that because I'm a nerd. But
no, this is a gut discussion.
I'm gonna say Innova. I mean, we've got. If you were to throw Evelina into every major and NT that all of these US women are playing, she would be in the top four easily. So that puts her as one of the best females.
We've seen that at the ones that she has.
Right. I'm just saying like consistently throughout.
Consistently.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would say that she is our strongest player on Team Innova, and she's 964 rated, so she is the highest. And just sheer numbers, like you said, Lisa Fakus, 945, Jennifer Allen, 945, Madison Walker, 944. So just looking at the top 20 females in the world, we've got most of them on this list. Some of them are not sponsored by big companies. I mean, Innova shows up more frequently in the top 20.
I tend to agree. I honestly think, though, that like, I think you can say that like one company has the strongest team, or conversely, nobody has the strongest team. I think it's a situation where every team has like an alpha. You've got, like you said, Evelina at Discraft. It's Paige Pierce at Latitude. It's Kristen Tatar at Prodigy. It's Katrina Allen at MVP. It's Sarah Hokum at DD. It's Paige Bierkus Shu. And so I think any of those players can win in any week. From there, it's a matter of depth. It's a matter of which players are playing regionally. You've got someone like Jennifer Allen, who she's going to play at the West Coast events and probably come in top five, but she's not traveling as much.
You know who someone else we just left out? You just mentioned Jennifer Allen and Callie McMorrin, also Innova.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
But in the same vein as Callie, I put her along the lines of someone like Haley King. Ton of potential. Hasn't exactly shown consistency yet. And that's kind of, I think, where my argument comes in against Discraft having the best FPO team. I think they have a lot of potential. I don't think all those players have shown consistency yet.
Right.
And really, I don't know that anyone on these teams, minus their A players, have shown consistency. My other piece to this puzzle would be, where is Hannah Bloomers going to play? And when we find that out, I think we come back to this discussion and have it again, because that, to me,
well, that'll be the
is a game changer.
That'll be the deal breaker or deal maker, rather. I think one company should just like pick up all the top women and we just make like a giant super team.
That'd be cool. You should start that.
Okay.
I think the best part of all this, though, is that we're discussing the women's pro game. And we obviously try and do that on this show anyway, but some of the moves this offseason have precipitated that even more. We're not just talking about where Paul McBeth went or where Ricky Wysocki went or whoever. You know, the biggest news so far this offseason has been Paige Pierce, and that's awesome. And then you get Katrina Allen sticking around. You get Missy Gannon making moves. You have Kristen Tatar signing an extension. Like, there's been a lot of movement on the pro women's side. And I do give Discraft a lot of credit. They've clearly have seen, hey, we can, there's some strong women's players out there. That's something that we can do to enhance our team. Let's pick up some more women's players. Credit to them. And it's going to be fun to watch. I think it'll make for a good season.
I agree.
So, all right, let's do this then, Sarah. Let's take a break real quick. And when we come back, we are going to chop it up about the 2010s because they are almost over. Holy cow. All right, so we'll be back here in just a moment on PJ Radio. All right, coffee talk time. Sarah, how do you every morning prepare your coffee? I don't mean like how what you put in it, but like how do you what's your method of brewing?
So I used to be a French press only kind of gal, but I wasn't making it very consistently.
It's very difficult to do.
Yeah, and I was not getting, my coffee wasn't good on a consistent basis. So I found, I don't even remember what brand it is, but it was like $30. And I was, so originally I was looking at the Keurig. I don't like all the waste that's associated with it. And I knew, so I wanted to get the recyclable pods. But I knew if I saw, I'm kind of like an impulse buyer. If I see like some flavor of coffee that looks really good, that's not in a recyclable pod, I'm like, oh, I'll make an exception this time and buy it. And I didn't want to do that. So I found this really cool coffee maker. It's a single cup and you can make up to 16 ounces and it's drip. So I take my Birdie Fuel whole beans, I grind them up, and then I put about 3 tablespoons in and make a big 16 or 18 ounce cup. And I kind of nurse it for hours and hours because I've got one of the insulated cups.
There we go. Crushing it. That was, that's one way of doing it. I go with the AeroPress.
Ooh, personally. Tell me about that.
It's, well, first of all, it's made by Aerobee, the Frisbee
company. No way.
Yeah. And it basically is just like, it almost essentially makes it an espresso and you kind of add some water to it and you're kind of having an Americano. But either way, gotcha, whatever your coffee brewing method, Birdie Fuel Coffee is a good thing to put in your cup. They are the presenting sponsor of this show today, not our separate coffee-based podcast that we clearly need to start. But we're happy to have Birdie Fuel as a presenting sponsor of this episode of PGA Radio. And they have various single origin blends and, like Sarah's mentioning, flavored coffees. You can check them all out now at birdiefuelcoffee.com. And if you use the code PDGA Radio at checkout, you will get 10% off your order. Makes a great gift, Sarah. If I got coffee for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever I celebrated, I'd be stoked. How about you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I have to slightly beef with your affinity for flavored coffees.
I know, I gave it up for a little bit because someone told me that it was like that you're not doing coffee
too much
justice,
of a coffee snob.
Exactly. But I really, when I get, I'm like seasonal. I'm like, all right, October hits, I'm drinking Sarah Hookham's Fall Forward Pumpkin Coffee.
There you go.
And then December hits and I'm trying to find something that's like pepperminty or spearminty. That sounds gross, I know, but some companies do it well. But yeah.
I think we need to get Birdie Fuel to make us our own blend.
I would love
that. About that. Yeah, that'd be cool. Anyway, yeah. No matter how you like your coffee, you should drink some Birdie Fuel. So hit it up, birdiefuelcoffee.com. And again, use the code PDJRadio at checkout for 10% off your order. The decade is coming to an end. Holy cow. It's December 17th, 2019, as we record this episode. Maybe you're listening to it a little later than that. But there are only a couple weeks left in the 2010s. And it's been a good decade for disc golf, Sarah. I wanted to just kind of have us go through, you know, some of our favorite moments in disc golf from the decade. And this is just, you know, purely subjective, us having a good time. We are trying to kind of count down, not necessarily count down, but we are recalling some of these moments over at pdga.com in our Decade on Display series. I wrote about the Val Jenkins's 2016 Worlds win, because
that was a good one.
That was great. That was that was my first one to see in person, and totally flipped the script at the end of it and came down and landed on the island in a very authoritative fashion, which is very memorable. And so that is one of my top moments of the decade. Sarah, I'm going to kick it to you. We'll just go back and forth. So I gave you that one.
Okay.
Give me one of your top disc golf moments of the decade. What you got?
So in 2014, this is, I guess, wrapped up with one of my memories of the decade as a disc golfer on a whole, but 2014, at the end of the year, I went pro, and then 2015 was the first world championships that I was both a competitor and then spectator, and witnessing the battle between Paige Pierce and Sarah Hokum after, and if you remember, I believe we talked about this year, that was 2015. Sarah Hokum got into an unfortunate car accident before the round that we were to play at Deer Lakes, and she was in the lead. I don't remember how many strokes were tacked onto her score at that point, but she battled back in the final nine and almost overtook Paige Pierce. And it came down to like the last couple holes, and it was just super anxiety inducing. There's a huge crowd. It was in Pittsburgh, which is where I started my entire disc golf experience, like 12 years ago. And so it was really cool, just surrounded by really special people and just on this giant stage. Paige ends up taking the win by one stroke, but there's all this talk or speculation that she was going to potentially throw, like, lay up and tie. And yeah, and go for the tie so that she and Sarah could duke it out, because she felt so bad about Sarah getting stroked for being late because she was in a car accident. So there's tons of drama and lots of tears and just a lot of emotion wrapped up in it. And I don't think I'll ever forget that moment. It was just really exciting for me to experience that firsthand.
So I'm going to kind of spoil one of my articles that will come out in the next couple of weeks on the decade. I'm writing one on Paige Pierce, and obviously with it culminating in her fifth world title, but she kind of has her own personal asterisk on that 2015 win. She basically said that when she wins her seventh, she will consider that one passing Elaine King and Juliana Korver, because right now she's tied with them. She's won five, but she doesn't personally for her feel like the 2015 one is hers. She feels like it's Sarah Hokum's.
Oh, so that was
interesting to talk to her about.
Yeah.
So that was, I'm glad that you got to see that one in person.
Yeah.
Something that I did not see in person, but that I think is honestly one of the biggest moments of the decade for disc golf, is Philo Brathwaite's Albatross at the Beaver State Fling in 2016. It put disc golf on a whole other level of mainstream awareness, and I think it was a huge leap forward. I mean, you had it going on, like, not just SportsCenter, it was on like regular local news channels, and you had internet memes and all kinds of things that came from it. It got its own episode on this like Science Channel show that they did.
Wow.
It was just such a big moment that really kind of signaled that, hey, you know, disc golf is this thing and it's getting bigger. And I think we're going to look back in not just, you know, 3 or 4 years, but in another decade or two, and really look back on that as a significant moment for disc golf and its awareness level to the public. So that's definitely up there, top one or two on my list of moments of the decade.
All right. Another one of mine was something that I was present for, and I believe it was actually the last year I went to the USDGC event a few years in a row, because I used to live like an hour away. And the last year that I went was 2014. And if you remember, that was the last year that Will Schustrick won. And it was extremely exciting because Paul McBeth was chasing him down, and they went through a playoff, and This started around the time where Will was kind of losing his putt. And, you know, he was like missing a couple putts, and then Macbeth wasn't capitalizing and he was missing a couple putts, and they just went around and around, and he finally took the win. And to me, it was just, it was kind of a shock that he was able to win and park it. And even when his putt was kind of losing it at that point, but just to show how comfortable he is with that course, how confident he is off of the tee. And unfortunately we haven't seen a whole lot of wins from him in the past few years because he's been very wrapped up in working with Prodigy and all of that. But that was an extremely exciting event for me to be in attendance for. The energy at that event is unmatched. So that was big for me as well.
I'm glad you brought up Paul Macbeth, because there isn't really one moment per se for Paul Macbeth so much as a series of moments for him. It's that, like, honestly,
highlight reel.
So in 2010, Paul Macbeth had like a couple B and C tier wins and was still playing baseball and was considering if he was even going to do disc golf full time. And we're going to close out 2019 and he's won like a boatload of majors, and realistically he's the face of disc golf. And it's been such a dominating decade for him, where, you know, you have five world titles, and you have 2015 where he won all of the majors, and you have this huge contract with Discraft, and you have him going 18 under par
twice.
Yeah. And then you have, you know, he shot the best highest rated round ever at the Memorial. And then you also have his Vibram Open crazy round that some people think is even better than Memorial round. There's just, it's honestly, to me, in disc golf, Paul Macbeth is the story of the decade. Like, when the 2010s will be known for him.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's just a fact of the sport.
Not only that,
we've been lucky to see all of it.
Yeah. And not only that, he's had tons of life changes. He got married. They bought a house with tons of property. They're building like a whole disc golf training center. So it's not like he's just been on the road and focusing on that. He's got lots of stuff to do outside of disc golf as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have another big one, Sarah? I got one more after this.
Yes. So I know this was more recent, but again, it's easier for me to retain things when I'm physically there. So, Paige Bjorkas, now Paige Shu, her win, last year at Smuggler's Notch was just, for me, it was kind of a surprise, because like we've talked about, we always knew that she was a great player, but she was never on tour full time. And then during the summer, it was like, oh, I'm going to go on tour. I've got some time while I'm out of college. Goes on tour, plays really well, and then ends up winning the world championships. And it's like kind of a huge upset when it comes to people like Sarah Hookham, Paige Pierce, and Katrina Allen. She's just a great person. She brings a great personality on and off the course. Her parents are lovely people that I've known for several years. So that was just really exciting to have someone kind of come out of the woodwork and win that event and be there for that. And just all the happy tears, like her mom running up and her dad running up and hugging her. It's just so cool to see such a supportive family.
Yeah. So very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool moment indeed. All right. I think this is a good one to end on, Sarah. Really. And, you know, we'll parlay this into a little smaller conversation after this, but, at the end of 2009, the PDGA had given out member number 42,174. As of today, the most recent PDGA number is 129,340. Also at the end of 2009, there were 3,082 courses in the PDGA course directory. Today, that number is 8,833. I think just the monumental growth of this sport in the past decade, through more people playing, more people being PDGA members, more media exposure. You know, the sport has always grown. It's been growing since, you know, the 70s when the PDGA was first founded. But the growth this decade has been explosive. You've got like 80 manufacturers now on our on the approved disc list. You've got more events sanctioned every year, you know, on top of each other. I think we sanctioned like 4,500 events or something like that this year. You have competing to, or not competing. You have two, but you have two tours now. You have just several. I mean, a huge community of people on social media following the sport. It's just, it's grown by leaps and bounds. And a lot of that is due to, you know, higher interest in the sport. And then just the volunteerism and like sense of community that comes with disc golf. So we've, you know, we've been both been part of that and are both able to benefit from that, as are a lot of other people. So it's just been pretty cool to see. You know, and the cool part is it doesn't really seem like it's slowing down much either. So I think we're going to keep building it more in the 2020s.
I agree.
Sarah, what about you? Just your personal decade in disc golf? Where, what do you kind of look back on? Because disc golf has obviously been fairly significant to you this decade.
Yeah. Well, this is pretty much my decade. So this year I got my 10-year PDGA membership tag. So I played my first event in 2008, became a member in 2009. And I'm actually just looking at my ratings history. So I was like, I wonder where what my first player rating was. And I think just looking back to then, I was a super recreational player. I was in college. And then I don't think if you told me 10 years ago that I'd be doing a podcast, running a big charity mixed doubles event and playing professionally with all these women that I looked up to, I would not have believed you. So that's the biggest thing for me. I actually started at 801. That was my first rating. And my goal has always been to get over 900, and I did that late last year. I never thought I'd be out of the 800s because I stayed in the 800s for so long. But just also thinking about the relationships and the bonds that I've made, I don't want to go through. I would do this because I'm like a list person. I love taking inventory of things. But I think if you were to remove all of the friends that I have now through disc golf and just remove them from my life, I'd probably have like 5 friends. So that's just to say that I've met so many people across the country and world that I never would have crossed paths with if disc golf weren't in my life. So yeah, I'm super thankful. I have no idea what I would be doing with my off time if I didn't have disc golf in my life.
Are you forgetting somebody?
You? Oh yeah.
No, not me. But thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I met my husband at the World Championships in 2014.
There you go.
So
tell Sean at like, least half of this podcast.
Yeah, so I literally, my life would be completely different. Maybe better, maybe worse. I have no idea. No, my life is pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
What about you? Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I started playing in 2011. And I've always just been a recreational player. I don't compete. It's just not my thing. But man, I quickly turned a hobby into a passion, and you know, kind of have been on this weird and wonderful journey that, like, I started writing for a blog, like a disc golf blog that is no longer, and got to know some people in the sport that way. And then, when that went under, started my own blog, and just, again, I was, you know, just doing it because I liked it, and then got an actual job where I got paid to write about disc golf. And now I work for the PDGA, and yeah, like you said, if you would have told me, I mean, 10 years ago, I was a teacher. If you would have told me that I was working for the governing body of the sport of disc golf, I would have looked at you like you had 4 heads. Yeah. So it's been a very interesting journey. And I can't be more thankful for it. It's a very unique story to tell people. It's a very weird little niche world to live in, but it's great. And there's a lot of wonderful people in it. And so I'm very thankful for what this decade has brought to me and my family through disc golf. And I hope for more good things in the next decade, Sarah.
Me too.
Yeah. And for all of our listeners, we hope that you all have a wonderful end of the decade and a great beginning of the next decade. We are going to call this a wrap on 2019. We will come back in 2020. Probably have to come up with some New Year's resolutions we can actually keep, because I know I did not keep mine last year.
I need to listen to what I said last year.
I said I was going to play every week.
Okay, yeah, that didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
I think I said I was going to focus on my creative talents a little bit more, which I did a little bit, but I have some new ones for 2020, so we'll talk about that.
All right. I haven't really processed mine yet. I'm getting through the rest of 2019 first. But to everyone who has stuck with us, this is episode 88. We thank you for hanging with us these last couple seasons. It's been a lot of fun for us. Hopefully it's been fun for you. We always appreciate your thoughts and your feedback. You can hit us up at radio@pdga.com. Subscribe to the show if you don't already. Tell a friend about the show if you haven't already. That helps us. And Sarah, I'll see you in 2020.
See you then.
All right. So for Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. We are signing off for the year. This was PDGA Radio. Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you next year.